I know everyone has memories of cracking open some wonderful pistachios. I used to always throw a bag of the classic roasted, salted, wonderful pistachios in the cart when I was grocery shopping growing up. And I remember always having a bowl going in the kitchen while cracking them open. Roasted Salted is still my classic, but recently I've been trying all the flavors, and I must say, even though I love in-shell pistachios for the activity of cracking them open, Wonderful Pistachios, no shell, salt and vinegar might just be my new favorite.
Wonderful Pistachios is one of the highest protein nuts. There's 6 grams of protein per 1 ounce serving. That's packing a protein punch. Chili roasted, honey roasted, sea salt and pepper, jalapeno lime. There are so many flavors to try out, and Wonderful Pistachios has become one of my favorite snacks recently. I need my snacks to be a good source of protein, and I love when I can eat snacks with my hands. It's easy, it's fun. What more can you ask for?
I also really like using the no-shell pistachios from Wonderful Pistachios to put on salads or rice bowls. Spring and summer salads are going to be so good. I can't wait to add the jalapeno lime ones to a fresh salad, and I've been using the chili roasted flavor on top of rice bowls recently. Visit wonderfulpistachios.com to learn more and find out where you can get Wonderful Pistachios near you.
At Kroger Pharmacy, CARE is making it easy to get vaccinated. CARE is helping you stay protected from flu, COVID, and RSV. Seasonal vaccines are available 7 days a week with evening hours. CARE is giving you a shot at staying healthy this season. Walk in whenever is best and get multiple vaccines in one visit at your local Kroger Pharmacy. So come and get the protection you need while protecting those around you. Kroger Health, a world of care, is in store. Visit Kroger.com/vaccines for more. Restrictions and exclusions apply. See site for details.
What's up, everyone? Welcome back to Girls with Goals with your host, Caroline. This is my second solo episode. And Catherine and I, after I put this one out, we'll each have done 2 solo episodes, and this is the last one before we are back together again next week. So I hope you guys have enjoyed getting to hear from us separately as we dive into different topics. And I know, at least for me, it's been really fun and interesting just to like sit down with a mic and my own thoughts. As much as I love our typical dynamic of being able to bounce off of each other, if anyone is a first-time listener, my name's Caroline. My twin sister and Catherine and I host Girls with Goals together, but we are doing separate things for the summer right now, or have been. We'll be back together next week. And so for the first time ever, we've been releasing solo episodes back and forth. And because we're reuniting next week, which means that I'm going home next week, I'm feeling a bit reflective about what these past couple months, living and traveling independently, being away from my sister, being away from my family, you know, doing things kind of more on my own than I ever have. I'm a pretty independent person in my life in general, but I think this really tested that. And I want to talk about transitional periods in our lives, how we deal with newness and like jump into it and get excited about it rather than getting scared about it. I always feel like in my life, I get so excited, and I can also get equally overwhelmed. There's kind of this equal and opposite reaction where I get really, really, really excited about something, and then maybe like 2 days later, this overwhelming feeling sets in and kind of kicks me back a step, because with excitement can also come fear. Like, that's just what happens with the unknown when we're starting something new. And I'm 21, almost 22. A lot of our listeners are also in kind of that teen to 30 age range, a lot of us in our 20s. And I think in our 20s, there's so much newness all the time. We're always going through these transition periods. Something is always, always new, whether you are going to a new school, graduating school, starting a new job, changing to a different position within your job, moving to a new city, picking up a new hobby, entering a relationship, leaving a relationship, finding new friend group. There are just phases of our lives, I think, a lot more frequently than when we're kids, and probably than when we're older and we kind of settle into long-term careers, long-term families and relationship, long-term homes and places to live. In our 20s, things are new all the time. And as exciting as that can be, there's also this layer of unknown, and it can be a little bit scary. Personally, I feel like I have something new going on in my life like at least every 6 months, and not even just like something new. I feel like my life is almost overhauled every 6 months in a little way, and I'll kind of explain that. So firstly, when I was growing up, I'm from New Hampshire, but my family moved to Hong Kong when I was about 10 years old for my dad's job. And so like that was a huge life transition just to begin with. And that's kind of when I feel like I started seeing my life in chunks a little bit, because how our lives worked as expats in Hong Kong is, you know, we lived there the majority of the year. I went to school there. I had my life there, my sports, my friends, my routines, everything, you know, that you have as a kid. But we would go home to New Hampshire every Christmas for like 2-3 weeks in the winter, and then every summer for a full 2 month summer break. So even my time living in Hong Kong was like kind of in chunks, because about halfway through the year, whether it was Christmas or summer, we would always come back. And then summer was a pretty long phase back home in New Hampshire too. And so I was kind of navigating like, well, what is that like? Do I still have friends at home? What do I do at home? What happens here? And so I think that my life kind of feeling like it was in these phases started at a young age because of that. In high school, a little bit less so. I think I was always looking for more change and newness in high school, and like things to, I don't know, break out a little bit differently than they were. I didn't really like high school. It was kind of like dull for me, as it may be for a lot of people. But in college, these past 4 years, I've seen my life in a very similar way. You know, obviously, it's the huge transition of starting school, going somewhere new, new city, new school, new people, new routine, very independent, all of that. And then, you know, no matter where you are at school, you have a new semester twice a year where, you know, maybe you're going home in between for summer break or winter break, and then you come back and you have a new schedule with new classes and new professors and new things. So no matter where you are, if you are going to school in your 20s or, you know, 18, you're kind of having this sense of newness over and over. And maybe you're going from a dorm to an apartment, you're living with different people, maybe you're entering Greek life or leaving it. You know, there's always this kind of newness, starting to be in clubs, figuring out your hobbies, doing different things. For me as well, I also, like, it's kind of the nature of my school to take semesters off to do internships. They're big on experiential learning. And so that's kind of what everybody does a couple times throughout their college career. They'll take a semester off to work. And so that means that not only for me, I've kind of gone back and forth between school and internship, but also, you know, my friends' schedules and availabilities have also changed. So it's almost like every semester of my life, I have friends who are away from Boston, or friends who are working and on busier schedules versus friends who are in class. You know, there's all of this newness is kind of what I'm getting at. And it can be both exciting and overwhelming to constantly feel like we're reshaping our lives, redoing this, restructuring it. So what I want to talk about is like, how do we find those constants that make it so that no matter what we're doing, no matter where we go, we feel like we can kind of flow through these transitions and lean much more into that excitement than the overwhelmment and the fear that can come with it. Because, you know, we don't know exactly what's going to happen. We don't know if we're going to love this environment, this job, this place, these people, but we're not scared about like who we're going to be and how we're going to act. Those are the things that we want to be constant with and consistent with. And so that's what I want to talk about today, is like, how do we establish those routines and those personal values that are going to stay consistent with us throughout any of these transitions?
And I actually have no notes for this. I am right now sitting alone in bed in a hotel room in Athens, Greece. For the past month and a half, I was in Thessaloniki, another city in Greece, and I was doing a summer semester abroad, taking a couple of classes, living by myself there. I absolutely loved the city. I felt so safe. I felt so energized. It's very chill. There's a boardwalk that was perfect for running and walking. It just felt like a very, like, awake but safe and chill city. Anyways, bit of a tangent. But I was there for a pretty short time, and I was anticipating that, and I was thinking, you know, I don't want to spend so much time feeling like I'm settling in to a place and then just, you know, immediately leave. Like, I want to think about how I'm going to be able to just jump right in, do my thing, get as much as I can out of it, but just like also feel really comfortable and not feel like this is throwing me off of my life, but like it is empowering my life and adding to my life. Because sometimes I think also when we go through big things like this, it can be scary feeling like, oh, but this is gonna totally throw me off like my typical routine or my typical of what I do, and it's like taking away from my life in some way, especially when something like travel or a huge change of environment takes over. That is a little bit of the fear. And so I was thinking about what would make this time like make me feel the most comfortable and feel like I got the most out of it, and like what would cause me the most stress and fear almost, or just like kind of feel uncomfortable and out of place. And I think for me, the biggest thing that I thought of was like having to feel the pressure of like meeting new people and making friendships in that short of a period of time, while at the same time trying to get the most experience out of it personally as I could, keep up with school, keep up with my social media work, and just enjoy being in the place that I was. And so I kind of took it upon myself before I even got there to take that pressure off and decide that like being super social, making friends, those are things that I really value, but they just didn't feel like my priority at this time. And so I kind of took it off my plate from the beginning and really relieved myself by deciding that I was going to be mostly independent, open myself up to people, but not force things where they didn't fit. And so what I did was I lived in housing by myself because I know how important my environment is for me to be able to like come back somewhere where I just feel comfortable exhaling. As social as I can be, I really do need to recharge by myself. And so I knew that that was what was going to make me feel my best. And so that is a choice that I made beforehand. I'm going to live by myself. Then, you know, I really enjoyed meeting people in my classes, in school, in the city, like other people that were in the same program. And I stayed really open and really friendly with people who like I actually felt a friendship vibe with. And so what I kind of mean by that is like, who did I actually click with and gravitate towards, and who could I see myself like, you know, being friends with in any environment, not trying to put a square peg in a round hole, not trying to like put puzzle pieces together that don't actually fit just for the sake of doing it. Because I know myself to be somebody where like if a relationship doesn't feel like it's clicking and coming naturally, it's very exhausting and very draining for me, and that's not what I wanted to do with this month. I also didn't want to be involved in any drama whatsoever, which I just think can happen when you put like a group of 20-year-olds all together. And so I made a few friends that I did get pretty close with and like had a great time with, ended up taking a trip with them towards the end, and felt like I did have people there while also being independent. And so that is a piece of advice that I would give to everybody, no matter what the new situation is that you're jumping into. Forced friendships and relationships feel so draining, and that never changes. Like if something feels forced from the beginning, it's always going to feel forced, and it's inevitably just going to like frustrate you. It's going to give you that feeling of loneliness even though you're around a bunch of people. That's so not fulfilling. That's such a waste of your energy. It's confusing. It's all of these bad feelings. And so if you're going to a new environment, put yourself in situations where you're around a lot of people, because you know you don't want to be totally isolated. You want to meet people, but you want to meet people where it actually makes sense and it works and that brings you enjoyment. And so put yourself in situations where you're going to be around a lot of people, so you kind of get the choice of seeing who you gravitate towards, and then you can put effort into those relationships instead of, you know, trying to know everybody, getting wrapped up in drama, trying to just like be around a lot of people, but then it takes away from your own independence and personal time with yourself because it doesn't actually feel fulfilling. And so maybe, you know, you are in school and you're going to class and you're doing something like this. Maybe you're in a workplace where there are a lot of people around you, and so you can meet people besides just those who are in your team, and you can make these friends and these colleagues at work who you actually gravitate towards, and then maybe they unlock other groups of people in the city that you'll meet too. Something that I'm really interested in doing when I get back to Boston is joining a run club. I've never been part of a running club. It's always something that I've kind of done on my own, but recently I've been running more like with friends and with my boyfriend, And running with another person has like this motivational energy towards it where I'm like, wow, I kind of get why people do run clubs. And so I was looking into run clubs in Boston, and there are so many. Every city has so many, and you immediately know that you have something in common with these people. Like, you're both showing up to run in a group together. I think it's a similar thing to a workout class, but sometimes I find that, like, a workout class, there's an instructor instructing. You're not really talking to people quite as much. So maybe, like, a run club is a great option, or other sort of fitnessy events or groups like that that you see in your city. That's something that I really am going to look into in Boston. And likely see myself joining this one that I found. They do a run once a week that's like a boot camp style run, and then they do another one during the week that's a longer run. And I was like, wow, that's like so up my alley, because I love boot camp style stuff. Seems like kind of like fun, and like they switch it up. And so that already gets me really excited and makes me feel like, well, whoever else is going, you know, feels the same way, and we obviously are interested in these same things and value the same things. So put yourself in situations where there's a lot of people around you, you can see who you naturally gravitate towards, because I know for me that worked really, really well, where I was like, I'm going to take this time solo and independent. I'm going to have my space to recharge by myself. But those people who I do like and who, you know, conversation flows, I have fun with them, then those people, yeah, I am going to put effort into a relationship and spending time with them, but it doesn't feel like this forced thing, and it feels natural. No matter what it is that we're dealing with as part of a transition, things feeling natural is what matters most. And that's why I wanted to frame this as like, how do we keep the things consistent within us so that no matter where we go, we still feel like ourselves? And I think, you know, that first step is defining your own independence, and then making sure that the people around you are people where you feel like you can be yourself and it feels very natural to be yourself around. My second tip is to find some consistency in your daily routine that feel familiar to you. And there can also be an air of newness as well. For me, this looked like finding a couple of cafes that I really vibed with and enjoyed, that, you know, I liked the food and drinks and the environment. It was also places that I could get work done. And this is where I would go mostly after class to get some food, decompress, and then take out my computer and do some work if I had work to get done. There was one spot that was more like a smoothie and juice place, another one that was more like coffee and lunch food, and I probably alternated and went to one of those almost every single day. And that was really nice because, you know, I still felt like I was doing something.
Starting to learn Mandarin on Rosetta Stone is such a core memory for Caroline and I. I remember when our dad first started traveling for work and was using Rosetta Stone himself, we'd hop on the computer after him and do the lessons too. Fast forward, we ended up moving to Hong Kong and learning Mandarin, and it actually became such a core part of who we are. Languages connect you to people, maybe your family or new friends, and to cultures so strongly. I think language learning is such a lifelong hobby, which is why Rosetta Stone's lifetime membership is so amazing. I'm using Rosetta Stone all over again now to brush up on my Mandarin and get my skills back to fluent. Rosetta Stone has 25 languages you can learn through their intuitive and immersive approach to help you language learn effectively. So don't put off learning that new language. There is no better time than right now to get started. And Girls with Goals listeners can get Rosetta Stone's lifetime membership for 50% off. Visit rosettastone.com/today and get 50% off and unlimited access to 25 language courses for the rest of your life. Redeem your 50% off at rosettastone.com/today.
You know what I don't miss at all? The vicious week before your period where you just want to crawl out of your skin, not able to keep up a routine or maintain healthy habits. Because personally, I just lose all steam. I feel down or just super off, and that's why Happy Mammoth has been so helpful these past few months. Happy Mammoth, the company that created Hormone Harmony, is dedicated to making women's lives easier. And that means using only science-backed ingredients that have been proven to work for women. They make no compromise when it comes to quality, and it truly shows. Happy Mammoth has what you need for gut health, hormone balancing, detoxification, anti-aging, beauty, mood, clarity, sleep, and even a really comprehensive quiz that will make sure you know what products are right for you. So check out what Happy Mammoth has for you and see what you might want to try. For a limited time, you can get 15% off your entire first order at happymammoth.com. Just use the code GOALS at checkout. That's happymammoth.com and use the code GOALS for 15% off today.
New. It's not like I've known these places for years. They were still new to the environment and the place, but it also created some consistency because I knew where they were, I knew what they served, and that I liked it. I knew that I could connect to the Wi-Fi and get work done. Like, it didn't bring up all of these questions of if I was trying to find a new place every single day, whereas, like, originally, I went into my time in Greece, and there are so many cafes around, and I was like, oh my god, I'm gonna try somewhere new every single day. And then after the first week or so, I literally just kind of started going back to these same couple places if I ever wanted to actually sit down somewhere, just because they were reliable and they kind of created a little bit of a sense of normalcy and comfort. And also sometimes I think the saturation of doing something multiple times can leave a much more lasting memory and impact on you than like doing a lot of things just one time. That may be just my experience because I see it both ways. Like, I love trying anything once, seeing everything once, but I think when you're trying to make a place feel kind of like a home, even for a temporary amount of time, and you're trying to make something feel comfortable quickly, then doing the same things over and over can feel a bit more impactful than always doing different things. And so for me, that was kind of like an anchor. Like, one, I had the consistency of going home to myself. Two, I had the consistency of going to class every day. And then also I had the consistency of like having these few places that I was comfortable going, had food that I really liked and could just kind of enjoy and decompress a little bit every day. And then after that, it gave me the space to walk around and explore, try different things. You know, there were obviously a lot of sights to see, a lot of dinner restaurants and foods that I wanted to try. And so it kind of gave me the space to be able to do that, but not everything felt so overwhelmingly new once I established a few of those consistent things to do and places to go. So that's a second tip that I would recommend if you're moving to a new city, to find a couple places that feel familiar to you and feel really comfortable and can kind of be like your go-to spots when you can't decide anywhere else to go or you have a bit of choice overload of things to do. I think this helps a lot too if you're starting a new job and like you're one, doing a new role, working with new people, in a new office space, in a new environment. Everything feels so new. And so, you know, having a consistent desk space that you go to every day, having a consistent time that you eat your lunch every day, like finding a few things to be consistent to kind of decrease the amount of choices that you're making every day and separate things that you're thinking of every day can really, really help you to feel comfortable. And then also, you know, optimize the choices that you then do leave yourself because they feel a bit more special in the choice and you don't kind of feel high strung and stressed if everything created this choice overload of like, oh, I'm in a new office. Who am I going to sit next to today? When am I going to open my laptop? What am I going to do for lunch? What time am I going to have lunch? What time am I going to leave the office today? Like, if you can define a few of those things for yourself, then it gives you the space to be really comfortable in that set routine. And then maybe you feel more comfortable going to talk to somebody new, doing an extra lap around the office, trying something new, working a little bit harder on your work because you're not thinking about all these external things. And my third suggestion for adjusting to new environments and phases of life is to keep your hobbies that you love and are already consistent in doing. You know, the habits that you've worked hard and long to build, those ones that just come naturally to you now, it might feel like not tempting to get rid of them, but like the change of environment might threaten to kind of knock you off of those routines too. And I would really emphasize keeping some of those keystone habits, especially the ones that you know to be really good for your mental health, your physical health, your overall well-being, whether it is, you know, going to the gym, running, playing a specific sport, figuring out how you can do that in this new environment so that that thing that it has always been consistent in your routine, makes your life feel really stable, can continue to feel really stable. You know, find a gym in your environment that's also going to help you meet new people, but it's going to be a place where, like, you can go, and no matter what else is going on or how else you're feeling about the transition, you can go make yourself feel proud in the gym, lock in with yourself for a moment. You know, it could be running outside, plugging in your earbuds, and just kind of blocking everything you're dealing with out for a second, or, you know, like I said, any other kind of sport or physical activity. But also, if you have other hobbies that you do that are, like, good for your mental health as well, reading books, maybe you're much more artsy than I am and you like to knit or do some sort of other type of craft, don't let those things go when you're going through a transition, because those are going to really ground you to yourself and help you feel like, you know, not everything is changing quite so much, and you can really embrace those bigger changes when you have these comfort zones that you can come back to. And when you're entering and going through any new phase of life, it's a really important time to be super self-reflective and consistently check in with yourself. When there's a lot going on, at least for me, I think that sometimes we're like, my mind is racing and I'm experiencing ups and downs of emotions all the time, and so I'm not usually like claiming any of these emotions and I'm not writing them down, I'm not necessarily thinking about them enough, and I kind of push them to the side because it can be a bit overwhelming when you're experiencing all of these things at once that come with a new phase of life. Like, you're setting goals, you're thinking, can I reach these goals? How close am I getting? Am I on the right track to doing these things? Oh, today I felt really tired, but I want to go really hard tomorrow. And I haven't met enough people, but I also want to be really independent. And I don't know if I'm doing enough, but I'm also kind of doing a lot at the same time. Like, there's a lot of contradicting things going on. And it just can be really helpful to have some compassion with yourself and be really mindful and just think about, like, what you're experiencing, because it's such a unique human experience that we get to have. And it's kind of a special thing to go through, like, all of these heightened emotions all at once. And so don't let that scare you. I would almost be grateful for it. Anytime I go through a period of heightened emotions, even if they are more sad or overwhelming or kind of negative in the sense, I do kind of try to look at it as, like, how lucky am I to be able to vividly experience this emotion? Because that in itself is a pretty cool human experience. And so definitely don't take for granted even the nervousness, even the anxiousness, even that fear, along with all this happiness and excitement and newness and energy, but also potential exhaustion. Like, don't take for granted the fact that you're experiencing all of these heightened emotions, and it's a very, like, vivid time of life when you're going through these sorts of transitions. But also, you know, definitely make sure that you're taking that time to check in with yourself and be with yourself. That's why it can be really, really helpful to have a space, whether it's your own apartment or at least your own room within your apartment, or just a place where you can kind of, like, exhale, recoup, regenerate with yourself and kind of think through some of these thoughts. As much as I am kind of bad at the habit of journaling, whenever I do it, it feels so, so helpful. So if you're someone who's better at the habit of journaling than I am or interested in it, that's also something that is so helpful, to be consistently mindful and checking in with yourself, because reflecting and adjusting is so important, as well as setting boundaries, like learning to say no to things when it is necessary and when it's not aligning with the goals and the values that you thought for yourself going into this new phase. Because you might get excited and plan this phase of life and be like, you know, I'm gonna be really healthy and I'm gonna be really independent and I'm gonna be so hardworking and all of the best parts of me are gonna come together right now. But then you kind of get in an environment and you find yourself sinking a little bit to, like, what is the most convenient? Like, oh, I got here and now I'm actually kind of scared to be alone, so I'm just gonna go with the flow and do what everyone else around me is doing because I don't really wanna be alone. No. Stand up for yourself and set the boundaries so that you can actually follow through with the goals that you set for yourself and the vision that you set for yourself. Obviously, you want to be flexible. Like, we can't hyper plan any new phase of life and anything without being in it and experiencing it. So flexibility is key, but definitely set those healthy boundaries and protect your time and energy and make sure you're getting out of this phase of your life what you want to get out of it, because, you know, it's your life. You have the right to do what you want and get what you want from it. So learn to say no when it's necessary, protect your time, stay flexible, stay curious and open to new experiences, more so in the sake of like understanding that you don't know how everything's going to go when you get into it, and also that any new phase of life is an opportunity for learning and for growth, and so it's never really possible to fail, right? It's not possible to fail at trying something new, because failing would be not trying something new that you wanted to do in the first place, but being too scared to even take the leap to do it. Because by even trying, you're embracing a new opportunity, you're learning something about yourself or about the world, and therefore you're growing from it. So there is absolutely no failing possible in this scenario. You're going to keep learning. You're going to stay positive and focus on the positive aspects of this new phase of life. There are so many good things going on in your life if you have this opportunity for change, whatever it may be. So regularly acknowledge those good things that are going on in your life. And also acknowledge the good things that are constant in your life and consistent and not just unique to this new phase, which is likely your family and your close friends. And I'm very grateful that I have a very close-knit family and that I'm able to text them about anything, just keep up with them, you know, feel like I'm still involved in the family group chat when people are texting, even like just meaningless, like, where are you? Coming out in 5 minutes, blah, 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 like my family and my sister at home. And I still feel like I'm kind of a part of that. They're keeping me up to date a little bit on the day-to-day of what's going on there, and I can keep them up to date. Maintaining those connections with family and friends and people that you have been close with before, and keeping that constant, even though it's going to be in a different form, keeping those people constant in this new phase of life can also really bring that sense of comfortability and familiarness. Obviously, you're not holding yourself back from new things by keeping yourself in the past. You want to be where your feet are, but that doesn't mean you can't maintain those connections and really get some grounding and guidance from being able to talk to those people who know you the best. And so I guess, as much as I said I didn't have notes coming into this episode and didn't necessarily have a structure for it, we've kind of come up with a structure along the way. So if I were to put in 10 steps how to stay true to yourself and get the most out of a transition into a new phase of life, I would say 1, set clear goals. Define beforehand what is going to make you feel the best and feel like you got the most out of this phase. 2, establish a routine in a way that can keep some things consistent that have always been part of your routine. So in a way, you're just kind of like shifting your routine over to this new phase of life, even if it is different locations, even if it's different timing, even if it looks a little bit different, like you're kind of keeping your core values in your routine similar. 3, practice self-care, prioritize your physical health and your mental health, those activities that bring you joy and relaxation, which leads me into 4, which is to stay mindful. You know, practice mindfulness to stay present, reduce your stress, and just to reflect on your thoughts and your feelings, because any new phase of life comes with a lot of thoughts and feelings. 5, like we said, stay flexible. Yes, we're building routine. Yes, we have goals set, but we also can't predict anything. So be open to changing and adapting to new circumstances and view any of those challenges that come your way as opportunities for growth. You know, having to be flexible and adapt to something doesn't mean that it went wrong. It just means, you know, exactly that. It might not have been exactly what we expected. Maybe it's better than we expected. You get to pivot, you get to grow. 6, maintain support, maintain connections with your family and friends. And, you know, it's always okay to seek outside support from counselors, mentors, therapists, whatever you may need. That's something I haven't really talked about here, but it's always a personal choice and can be a really good choice when you're going through something much bigger in life. 7, stay positive when you have all of these conflicting emotions. Focusing on the positive aspects of this new phase is going to be really, really powerful. And, you know, meeting it with a sense of gratitude by acknowledging the good things in your life, the good changes that are happening, is so powerful, because really everything is about perspective. You know, transformation isn't always about absolutely changing your life. Sometimes it's just about changing the way that you look at your life. That's a quote that I saw on Pinterest lately, and it really stuck with me. 8, keep learning. okay? New opportunities for learning and growth. We are all young. We're all experiencing new things. Nothing is forever. That's also something to think about. Never hold yourself back from trying at something. Never be so scared of something because you think that, you know, once you move to a new place, once you start a new job, once you commit to a new hobby, like it has to be forever. You can always change your mind. So embrace this opportunity to learn, to grow, to try it, to stay curious and open to new experiences. But remember that nothing has to be forever, okay? Nothing is as high stakes as we think they are. 9, set your boundaries. Protect your time and energy when you need to. Say no when it's necessary. And finally, 10, reflect, which we kind of touched on before, but reflect. Reflect with yourself. Reflect on the biggest things you're learning during this time, the things that you're proud of yourself for, the things that you might want to put a little more energy into, the things that you were right about from the get-go and are really working, the things you might not have been so right about that you want to adjust as needed. There's a lot that goes on with any new transition into life, but I think these key steps and things to think about are what help you go into it with confidence and therefore get the most success out of it.
At Kroger Pharmacy, CARE is making it easy to get vaccinated. CARE is helping you stay protected from flu, COVID, and RSV. Seasonal vaccines are available 7 days a week with evening hours. CARE is giving you a shot at staying healthy this season. Walk in whenever is best and get multiple vaccines in one visit at your local Kroger Pharmacy. So come and get the protection you need while protecting those around you. Kroger Health, a world of care, is in store. Visit Kroger.com/vaccines for more. Restrictions and exclusions apply. See site for details.